Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
And for those of you who hate spoilers, I'm going to be that guy right now. Speaking of sucking,
you are.
Roman Reigns is getting his absolute you-know-what pushed in by Braun Strowman currently as we watch, as we watch, this edition of Raw is War here on April 10th. How is everybody doing? Another Monday. Chris here with you, the big swing, Chris McSwiggin, along with the icon, Scott Helmreich.
The icon is here and ready to play.
Always, constantly.
And he's got a big blockbuster announcement.
And we'll get to that announcement in 1 second. Big, big show. Actually, does that announcement have to do with who's on tonight?
It does. It certainly does.
Okay. Then I was going to lead into it, but I'll let you do that then. Tonight we have the Superstar Shakeup. We saw that on Raw, and a lot of big names showing you further proving that WWE writers listen to this show, because pretty much everybody that we said we think is going to end up on Raw has ended up on Raw so far. My question is going to be, and we'll get into this in a second, my question is going to be who's going to end up on SmackDown? Because, I mean, they've pretty much raped the talent from the SmackDown Live roster. I mean, the Intercontinental Champion Dean Ambrose, they've taken The Miz, they've taken Bray Wyatt. They've taken pretty much all the big names out of SmackDown. My question is, what big names are they going to take from Raw? So we'll see about that tomorrow night. You can tune in live to SmackDown Live. That is, that's weird to say live twice like that. It sounds weird. You can tune in SmackDown Live 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And for those of you who are joining us tonight. Well, yeah, it's Central Standard or Pacific. There's more population in the Pacific, so let's go Pacific time, which would be 5 o'clock. For those of you who are joining us at 10 o'clock Eastern time, 9 o'clock Icon time, we do have a big announcement for who's going to come into the studio and tonight and talk to us for a little bit. And why don't you go ahead and give us a little preview of who that's going to be before we start talking about Raw here.
Okay, now we have probably we've had big guests so far this year, and the Icon.
Very big guests.
The Icon has gotten them all, okay? The Icon
Everything
has gotten
one.
Them all. He has helped revolutionize this show. Not that I'm bragging, but I am, okay?
He is kind of bragging a little bit, folks.
Yes. I'm kind of like The Miz, but I'm not as pompous, and I got a better-looking girlfriend than he does, but that's beside the point. Tonight, on this show, live tonight, we have Gilbert. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Gilbert. Holy shit, did he just throw him down the steps?
I think he did. I think Braun Strowman did. Braun Strowman is not
messing
around.
I cannot believe that, but I'm sorry about that. I was just mesmerized by that. We have Gilbert on this show. He's going to be calling us. He's going to be coming live out of the green room. I got a great announcement ready for him. We got the chance ready. And if you know the call-in number and you have questions for Gilbert, he said that he will take questions from our fans. And
he will. And if anybody is listening live, again, feel free to call in 713-955-0359. Again, 713-955-0359. We will get you that number again sporadically throughout the broadcast. Now, Icon, we just watched Roman Reigns literally get demolished. We knew that this was a long time coming. In a way, it sort of puts Braun Strowman over a little bit because everyone hates Roman Reigns. But also, in a way, this was a rivalry that, I mean, he's been asking for Romans forever. I mean, he's been wanting Reigns since, I think it's going on 2 months now. He's been wanting Roman Reigns. So, obviously, this is going to be the next big rivalry, okay? And if WWE stays true to their form, then Roman Reigns is going to beat Braun Strowman because that seems to be, they want him to be a literal Superman, not just his finishing move. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with it. This was very Attitude Era-esque for me, which was great, which I really, really, really enjoy. I mean, whenever anybody on a stretcher gets pushed down a flight of stairs, I'm a happy guy. I'm feeling it. What was that?
You know what that reminds me of? I don't know if you – well, I keep showing my age here, and I forget how long you've been watching, but this reminds me of when Stone Cold Steve Austin commenced beating up Bret the Hitman Hart in the ambulance. That's what this reminds me of. I don't know if you remember that segment or not.
There's that. I do. I do remember that. But also, oh, here he goes. He's going into the ambulance. This is exactly the same. They're just recycling. I mean, for those of you who are either watching Raw on delay or haven't tuned in yet or whatever, we do apologize for the spoiler. It's just, you know, this show, as you know, we come on and complain about Raw constantly and how bad it's been. He's not going to tip that ambulance. No.
He's not?
No
yes,
way.
Yes, he is. Yes, he
no
is.
No way. No way. That's got to be – that can't be a real ambulance. I mean, come on.
No, it's
not. That's one ton of steel, man. I think it's got to be – come on.
Well, you got to remember, though, Braun Strowman was in the strongman competition early in his career. You know, he used to do this in the strongman competition. That sure looks like a real freaking ambulance to me. Look at the undercar of that
thing. The muffler.
Thing.
It does look like a
yeah.
real ambulance to me, and that's why I'm sitting here dumbfounded.
It's got two wheels in the back.
Of course it has two wheels in the back. They had to make it look somewhat realistic if they weren't going to, you know, have it be realistic. But, regardless, craziness, absolute craziness. I bet you Gilbert can do that.
Yeah, you know, the WWE has had a history of guys getting beaten up in ambulances. Do you remember when the NWO ran into The Rock with a semi when he was in the ambulance? Stone Cold Steve Austin beating up Bret the Hitman Hart in the ambulance. And there was
Edging Kane.
I cannot remember what it was. I think it was reversed. I think Stone Cold was in the ambulance, and he got the crap kicked out of him when he was in the gurney.
It was when Stone Cold joined the Alliance, I believe, and Undertaker threw him through the plate glass window, and then they were loading him
in,
and he went in and beat him up in there. Yeah, that's what that was 2001.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
yeah, I mean, they've done this
I'm
angle
surprised.
Before, but honestly,
yeah.
I think that this one probably was pulled off the best, and I say that because you've got two big dudes. I mean, big dudes going at it, and the way Braun Strowman manhandled a giant dude like Roman Reigns, it looked pretty cool because people have been waiting for Braun Strowman to break out forever. And finally, Braun Strowman breaks out. He finally does something that is Braun Strowman-esque, okay? And instead of beating up jobbers, he's now finally going after, you know, arguably the top guy on the Raw roster, and he is you know, finally causing some chaos. And that's what we've all been waiting to see from Braun Strowman.
Yeah, which brings me to our next point. Braun Strowman is a big man. He's a strong man. We've been talking about this for months, how stupid it was, as athletic and as big as he is, he would go to the ring and have three jobbers that he would just take out in 5 minutes. You know, The sad thing
which
his match
was
against
kind
Jobbers,
of a slap in the face to him.
Yeah, his match against Jobbers lasted longer than Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg, you know? You know, and
which,
the
yeah.
thing is, here's the thing. Now, is the WWE going to do this storyline correctly, or are they going to screw
Probably
it up
not.
Like they have been all their other storylines?
If I
Only
had
time
to guess,
will tell on this.
Well, if I had to guess, I'd say they're going to do something to mess it up. But, again,
yeah.
who knows? This could be them finally turning the corner. You know, I mean, the attitude era is long gone. The ruthless aggression era is long gone. You know, those eras that we grew up on, well, that I grew up on, that we knew and loved are gone. But maybe the PG thing is starting to go away a little bit too. Because, I mean, Raw has been becoming increasingly more physical, and they've had a lot more backstage attacks. You know, the Sheamus and Cesaro got attacked by the club. With the ladders 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, they have been doing more things that just make you go, oh, wow, you know, recently. And I think, basically, I think it's because the ratings have forced them into doing things that people enjoy because, you know, yeah, they're sold-out arenas, they're this, they're that, but they're getting a lot of negative reviews, they're getting relatively bad ratings, and the flagship program cannot lose to SmackDown Live. I understand that using wrestling terms, they want to put SmackDown Live over, that it's a new thing, they want to get people watching it, but you can't have your flagship program that's been on since, you know, the beginning of time, seemingly, you know, lose to a new program, which has always been a secondary program. So,
right.
know, finally,
and Raw
I
started.
Think... I, yeah,
Raw
yeah.
started in 1993.
Well, when did Raw start?
1993,
okay.
Okay, so let's see, 93, 2003, 2013. So what? It's been on for 25 years now. You know, the longest
wow.
running episodic TV show ever. Now, we all know that I have been watching WWE longer than anybody else that hosts this show. I mean, I went from the old generation to the new generation, to the Attitude Era, to the Ruthless Aggression Era, then it went to the PG Era. And to me, it's starting to turn from the PG Era to something else. They're not going to go back. They can't go back to the full-blown Attitude Era. They're not going to do that.
Oh, no, of course not.
And
I don't think that's going to
happen. And
gonna,
they've
I mean,
been teasing
us. First of all, what was a staple? Well, think about one of the staples of the Attitude Era. Yeah, I understand it was, you know, crazy storylines and it was, you know, exciting stuff. But one of the main things was bra and panties matches, the women's division, jello matches, things like that. Women today, you'd have an uproar. You'd have protests, riots in the streets. It would be bad for business to do that. So what they're going to do is they're going to have – I want to say it's going to be a little bit of a fusion, PG fusion era is what I would call it, because they're going to fuse in elements of the Ruthless Aggression, elements of the Attitude Era, elements
yeah.
of the PG era, and they're going to mash them all
right.
together. And I'm okay with that. I just wanted a little bit of Attitude Era in my Raw, and I haven't had that for close to a decade, and now it looks like finally they're starting to turn it around.
Yeah, you know, and I don't, you know, I love what they're doing right now. Let me ask you this. Then I'll make my next point, okay? When is the last time that we've been this excited about what's been happening on Raw? How long has it been since we've been this excited and we've talked this much about Raw at the beginning of our show?
Well,
for the last
positively.
Hour?
Talk this much with positive things to say
yeah.
About
it's
Raw.
It's been a year
more. Because we've been talking about Raw consistently to open the show. It's just always been negative things. So now we've got,
yeah.
you know, a positive thing to say, which is good.
Right. Now, I'm wondering, you know, we're talking about all these guys coming over to Raw, you know, and, of course, like we talked about before the show started, that all the members of the Shield are on Raw right now. But it sounds like you know, and they kind of teased it, what's going to happen with Seth Rollins. I wonder if Seth Rollins might be on his way to SmackDown. I hope not, but it could be.
Well, Kurt Angle basically said, you know, as long as you're here, you've got a spot on Raw. But again, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, they can change their mind and turn around, you know, in the blink of an eye. So, I mean, who knows? But I think everybody wants a Shield reuniting. I think everybody wants them to get back together. And, you know, if Samoa Joe is going to continue to do his thing, I mean, Triple H can probably easily find two other guys and sort of make an authority again and make it 3-on-3 with those two. And I think that would be or sort of have the one-man wrecking crew. Have it be Samoa Joe, because if you remember, you know, when it was Triple H and Stephanie, you know, against the Shield, it was 3-on-1. I mean, he didn't have three henchmen. You know, it was just he would make their lives hell in other ways. So I think it's definitely possible, for sure. But
right, now,
who knows? I mean, you know, who knows?
Here come the Hardy Boys. For those of you who are not watching Raw live right now, the Hardy Boys, the tag team champions are coming out, and this is a fatal four-way.
It is.
And we're wondering how long the Hardy Boys are going to be. By the way, Matt Hardy's hair just looks completely stupid. Okay, just my opinion. I mean, it's like he doesn't know how to dye all the gray out of his hair. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But anyway, that's
well, is that gray or blonde?
Show. Well, it looks gray from here, but it could be blonde. But it's like, you know, Seth Rollins did that. You know, the half blonde, half black thing. You
he
know,
did, and I liked it. I thought it looked good on him.
Yeah. And I wish you did.
And here's Luke Harper. So another SmackDown guy comes over. So I mean,
do you see what he's carrying?
I do see what he's carrying, but who like, that's my thing. That's what's perplexing to me. Like, who are they going to put on SmackDown? This is good for business, because now you're wondering to yourself, well, hell, they're taking all the best talent from SmackDown. They're taking all the top guys, arguably, you know, other than the SmackDown champ, Orton, who I think might make an appearance, but I'm not sure. They're taking all the top guys and putting them on Raw. So now my question is, what top guys are they going to, you know, have replacement value with on SmackDown? Because quite frankly, I don't really see anybody on Raw that equals who they brought over from SmackDown. If they bring AJ Styles over to continue that feud with Bray Wyatt, and then they bring Orton over and they swap champs with Lesnar, Raw is hands down the better show, and I think it kills SmackDown Live, honestly.
Right. You know, and here's something else. You have Luke Harper, okay, on Raw now. You have Braun Strowman on Raw. You have Bray Wyatt on Raw. And Eric Rowan just returned. I don't think he's going to come over to Raw. You know, you got three members of the Shield. Of course, they're only worth three. And you have what was left of the Bray Wyatt family. You have, you know. And I don't think that the Wyatt family is going to is going to happen again, because, you know, I think they're done with it, which I think is a good idea, because, you know, they...
Why? Why is that a good idea?
Well, do you really want to continue seeing this backwoods Wyatt, you know, this Duck Dynasty ripoff
thing
going on?
They're awesome. And I think they bring sort of that weird Deliverance element to, you know, to WWE. They bring sort of that – they're creepy by default. They don't even have to try to act creepy. So I think it works in a way, especially if they're going to be heels, especially if they're going to play that evil role. You know, it works. It works for me. And I don't know. I like the Wyatts as a whole. I mean, I haven't seen – you know, Luke Harper was here. I haven't seen Eric Rowan in forever. I don't know where the hell he is. But I just think that's a good thing for business. Now, if they put them all on Raw, again, it's perplexing to me for SmackDown what they're going to do. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. But I like your idea you said off the air about possibly swapping champions and bringing Randy Orton over to Raw and putting Brock Lesnar on SmackDown. I kind of feel like that would be a shakeup because, you know, Brock Lesnar would run roughshod. He'd have new competition, new people, and, you know, I mean, I'm getting pretty sick of seeing Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns, honestly, and I think everybody else is.
Too. I am, too.
So, that's going to be what the next title match is because, I mean, Roman Reigns just got a mega push, you know, so I don't know.
Which is why they're doing the Braun Strowman Roman Reigns thing. I mean, it just makes sense.
No, for sure. For sure. And because, you know, and then Braun Strowman, I think what's going to happen here is if they do put the whole Wyatt family together, you could have a Wyatt family versus Shield. And you can have the two, quote-unquote, family stables together. And now that Seth Rollins is
that
face
would be
again,
an awesome feud.
It makes sense.
That would be
well,
an awesome
Seth Rollins
feud.
Is a, and, you know, they were chanting for Seth today. I mean, Seth has successfully become a face again. And I really think the only way I don't see this working is I don't think Roman Reigns can recover from this right now. If he were to link back up, I think if they're going to put another face turn in the works, for Roman Reigns, it's got to be with the Shield. And even that, I don't think, is going to be enough to sort of sway this crowd a bit. I think too much damage has been done to the Roman Reigns character. But I would like to see Shield versus the Wyatts. I think that would be very, very interesting. And, you know, it would be 3-on-3 because Eric Rowan has disappeared. So it would be 3-on-3. And I think that would be a really, really good feud to take us into the summer. And then maybe if you swapped out tag champs, let's say, and brought American Alpha to Raw and put the club on SmackDown, left AJ Styles on SmackDown and formed up the Bullet Club over there, I think that might be kind of cool. So, you know, there's a lot of different ideas as to what they can do. So far, I'm as a fan of Monday Night Raw, I'm excited for Monday Night Raw. I think that they've made good decisions. I just don't know what they're going to do for their other brand. They've shoved SmackDown Live down our throat, and now they're raping their talent. So I don't know exactly what the plan is, but I like not knowing what the plan is. I enjoy it. For those of you who are out there, I like the thrill of it, per se. For those of you who are out there who may be listening, Gilbert is going to be joining us pretty soon in studio here. You can give us a shout if you want. 713-955-0359, Off the Ropes, brought to you by Overtime.News and American Dream Radio. And I really feel like this show, and I don't mean our show, I mean Raw's show, is going to be really instrumental for what's going to happen in the company in the next coming months. I feel like something is going to happen at the end of this show at 11 o'clock that is going to really change the face of the WWE currently, and whether it's for the better or for the worse, but I think somebody's going to make an appearance as shock value right at the end of the show, and then you know it's going to leave us wondering, hey, what's going to happen tomorrow on SmackDown? So it's good marketing, it's keeping people interested, keeping people on their toes, but I just if it's the person I think it is, it's bad for business. If it's not, then it's good for business. And I'll get into that when we get closer to 11 o'clock. I don't know. I think I'm watching the Hardys here. Do you think the Hardys have a chance to go to SmackDown? Because if they bring American Alpha over, I mean, they don't really have a tag team division on SmackDown anymore. Or wait a minute, maybe the New Day? Perhaps, although I know Kofi Kingston is injured. He's out for a while. But perhaps bring the New Day over there? Because New Day wants the tag belt. You could set up two athletic teams and have the New Day versus American Alpha over on SmackDown, which would be, I think, pretty awesome. I think New Day – thing is with me is New Day's went stale. I think New Day needs a fresh start.
Well,
and they could get it over there.
New Day coming out New Day coming out with a blow-up doll acting like Kofi. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? What in the hell was that?
You know, I don't know.
Did you see that?
Yes, I've seen everything. I see all. I am the see-all of everything. I don't know. I haven't been able to wrap my head around New Day since they debuted, and I'm still not. And at this point, I don't really care anymore. I mean, New Day to me, I mean, they could do the coolest thing you've ever seen, and I'd be like, yeah, it's New Day, you know. So which is why I think they need a fresh start. I think if you put them on SmackDown, you reinvigorate the rivalry with the American Alpha. And you get some excitement. You get some high-flying matches, some super athletic matches. I think this could probably work. But I think the tag team division now is much too saturated on Raw. They need to make a quick change. And I would not be surprised to see them jump New Day over there. I really would not be surprised.
Well, you know, and I think New Day would be great over there. You know, I think they'd be great on SmackDown. I think that would be a great home for them, you know. But, you know, in another flip of the coin is would they want to go over there? You know, well, I guess they really don't have a choice, do they? You go over there.
No, not really. Huh. Yeah. I mean, they have a choice. You know damn well they already know where they're going, but From a kayfabe standpoint, no, they don't have a choice. And I don't think that New Day would be the type to bitch and complain. They could be, but who knows? Now, more? Really? More, Maurice? Oh, Emma.
You know,
Emma, you know, she's gotten a lot hotter.
I'm bored with
her. That's Dana Brooke, not Maurice, by the way.
Who is that?
That's Dana Brooke, by the way.
Oh,
but who are you?
Okay.
But you said you're bored with him? Who are you bored with?
Maurice. And I'm just bored with Maurice and The Miz. I mean, now, granted, I don't dislike them as much as I dislike Kevin Owens. Okay? Let's make that abundantly clear. I will never hate any wrestler more than I do Kevin Owens. And whether that's supposed to be his job or not, it does not matter. Do not and will never like Kevin Owens. He could become a fan favorite. He could become a good guy. He could become a face. I'm never going to like the guy. And I still want to
if,
beat
if
the guy
Kevin Owens, if Kevin Owens showed up at your place up there, okay, And he like, I don't know, gave you money and shook your hand and gave you a hug and explained his actions and was just a genuinely nice dude and was like, hey, let's go out and have a beer. And he was just a friendly, compassionate dude, gave you money, hung out with you, the whole thing, you know, let you hold the belt for a little bit, gave you an autograph, all that. You still wouldn't like Kevin Owens?
Well, you know what I do? And if Kevin Owens
was
listening, I'd like him to do that, but here's what I would do. I'd let him buy the beer. I'd let him have a hold me his belt, and at the end of the night, I would turn on his ass.
Huh. You have your own personal little heel turn, huh?
Okay. It's funny you bring that up. My own heel turn. You know, this person will remain anonymous right now because I don't think he deserves any press. But I got a message on Facebook stating to me and asking me, you know, thinking that I'm the heel of our show.
Well, you kind of are. I mean, of our show, you kind of are, yes.
Okay, well, thanks for pointing that out. I guess I never ever thought of myself as a heel.
I mean, I wouldn't consider you to be a heel. You're a genuinely nice guy, but I mean, come on, everybody loves me, you know. So
well,
that's
yeah,
what it is.
True.
I'm just a big teddy
bear,
you know.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, you know, it's like, I guess I've always considered myself, if I was a heel, and I kind of always wanted to be, you know, if I was a heel, I definitely would not be as nice as I am, you know. I think
I guess, guy. Well, I guess the correct terminology, if we're using if we're on a wrestling show, and the correct wrestling terminology for this would be that you are a tweener. You ever heard that term?
Okay,
tweener?
I'll go with that. I'll go with
that. Yeah, tweener word.
You know.
You're sort of bordering on the edge of a heel, but you're generally a nice guy. It happens. I mean, I'm not knocking you for it. A lot of the best ever have been tweeners.
Right, and I'm going to ask you what I asked that guy that said that. Am I a good guy acting like a bad guy, or am I a bad guy acting like a good guy? And I left it at that. And he actually, this individual wrote me back and actually said, I'm going to have to think about that and ponder that. Okay, fine. Let me know what you think.
All right. Sure. I mean, that's a perplexing, philosophical, Socratarian type of question from you. So that's good. It gives him a lot to think about, sort of puts it in his head a little bit. I enjoy that.
Do we have our guest on right now?
Well, you jumped the gun. I was actually going to play you a little something. One of the clips that I have here for said person is still uploading because technology has a mind of its own and not wanting to cooperate. And me being lazy, probably should have done it earlier, but hopefully that will go through here in a minute, and I think it just did.
Well, maybe I can introduce
yeah.
him.
So let me.
Maybe I can bring him up, and he can play that.
Let me play a little something first for you, and then you can introduce him as if you're the ring announcer. Here we go.
Okay, perfect.
One you've ever done, that's for sure.
That was a good one, though, man. That was a good one.
So, hey, Gilbert, how are you? Hello?
Go ahead.
How are you, Gilbert? How are you doing?
You guys are messing with each other, aren't you?
I keep
muting his mic. That's just me. But Gilbert, what he's asking is how you doing, man? I mean, it's been a while, obviously, since we've seen you on television, but I think anybody who's a wrestling fan who has, you know, watched both WWF and WWE throughout the past however long knows your name, knows who you are, But they know who you are because they know who Bill Goldberg is. And I guess my main question for you, and this is something that I've always wondered, and the fact that I finally get to ask you in person is something that's awesome to me, but was it your idea? Did you approach them with the idea of, oh, hey, let's spoof Goldberg? Or was that an angle that was given to you?
Well, actually, I really think it was Paul Bearer's and Kane's idea. What had happened was I was doing this on the independents. I was making fun of all the superstars, just having fun, you know what I mean? And then I got called up for the mystery guest, and I got my contract the next night. And I was in the back one night, and I was talking to Kane and Paul Bearer about it. And I was, telling them, yeah, I did this guy. I said, and then I did Goldberg. And Paul Bearer looks at me, and they're laughing. He goes, oh, Dwayne Gill, I think you've got something there. And we laughed, and I thought that was kind of it. Well, the rest of the night, when I walked by them, they kept going, Goldberg. And, we just kind of laughed it off. And the next day, I went into catering, and all the boys started going, Goldberg. So I turned around, set my tray down, went, bah! And everybody laughed, and I thought that was it. Well, 2 days later, when I'm home, I get a call. You're now Goldberg.
Wow.
So that they all had right. No clue what I was going to do. They had no clue.
Did you enjoy the role? What?
I loved it. I love Goldberg. I love it, man.
Okay.
I love it to death.
Did Bill Goldberg like it?
At first, hell no. He wanted to kick my ass.
Oh, I bet.
But you
could
take him, though.
Yeah, I could take him.
Have you ever met him in person?
At least
take him out for dinner anyway.
That's about it. He's a large individual, brother.
He is.
As Goldberg, now you won a couple titles. We know that you won the Hardcore Championship. Now, you also won the Light Heavyweight Championship, right?
Yeah, I never won the Hardcore title.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, sir.
No, I never won the Hardcore title.
I'm just the longest reigning Light Heavyweight title holder. And what I like is it can never be beaten. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, do you know why?
Why is that?
Because they no longer have a
WWF champion,
title.
Brother.
Oh, that's
no, not because they don't like the light heavyweight title. If they bring it back, it doesn't matter. I was WWF champ. I can never be beat, bro. It's WWE now.
Now, Chris, he's a little younger than me. Well, he's a lot younger than me. I'm the senior citizen of this group. He could be my dad. Yes, I could. But I wouldn't want to be. But anyway, the thing is, I don't know if you want to comment on this, if you want to talk about it. But I remember watching you in the mid late 80s, early 90s when you went by your name Dwayne Gill, which is your real name. Everybody knows this. And I remember you coming out. You were a jobber. I don't know if you like that term or not, but you were a jobber.
That's what it was. I loved it.
You had these beautiful blonde locks, and of course you had no hair on top, and it was like blonde and black, and you were like, you had better hair than Hulk Hogan, because he always had to cover up his bald spot. You never did. Can you tell us about who your first match was when you were you're still known as Dwayne Gill, but who your first match was when you were doing that?
Well, first before I do that, Dwayne Gill won the light heavyweight title. Goldberg didn't.
That's right.
Dwayne Gill is the longest light heavyweight champion, not Goldberg. Goldberg was an alter ego of Dwayne Gill.
Right. And we love both of them.
Yeah, my first match, I do believe it was a tag match against Demolition. if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think it was Demolition.
And I think they cheated to win that match, didn't they?
Huh?
They cheated to win that match, didn't they?
They cheated to win every match, brother. But they were good at it. They were good at it. That's for sure. I took the old drop an elbow and do a flip, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember watching you kind of bounced off the mat. I don't know whether you were kayfabe or not. It didn't look like it.
There's no kayfabe, brother.
Yeah, it looked like
it was all. That was all real. That was all real.
And I, like I say, we'll let Chris in here in a little bit. But if I'm not mistaken, I saw you once in Minneapolis, and I think you were wrestling. It was either Mr. Perfect. I can't remember who was it, either Mr. Perfect, Tatanka, or Razor Ramon at the time. And I remember you took one of the finishing move of whoever it was, and, man, I was like, I was cheering you. And I was at ringside, and you came by, and after you regained your consciousness, you came by, you came out of the ring, and you slapped my hand. I don't know if you remember that or not. But
well, I don't remember who you are, or else I could remember.
Yeah, but I think you got scrambled pretty good there.
I always did back then.
I remember watching you, and I'll tell you, and then Chris can ask some questions. I remember it was you, and I'm not just saying this because you're you, but you inspired me to want to be a wrestler because. When I saw you, it's like, okay, so this guy is getting his ass kicked every time he steps out of the back curtain there, and people love this guy, and you were the guy I wanted to be. I wanted
awesome,
to be just
man.
Like you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I love my job and knew what my job was. I guess that's what made me good at it. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't like losing. Me, it was just, you know, I was happy to be a little fish in the biggest pond in the world than a big fish in the littlest pond in the world, if you know what I mean.
Right. So
which I love. Well, I love that attitude because, you know, a lot of these independent guys, I know it's a little touchy for them, so I don't ask a lot of them when they come on the show, but for me to say, hey, you know, do you ever think what it would be like in WWE, or do you ever get jealous, or do you ever do this? I don't want to touch that subject with them because a lot of guys are sort of sore about that. They think that, hey, I'm looking at the talent now, and I think I could do this, and I don't sort of want to touch that with them. For you, on the other hand, you would rather have been that small fish in the biggest pond than be the – because a lot of these guys love their role. A lot of these guys are the world champ of the, you know of the whatever federation, and they're eating it up. And for me, you know, growing up on this, you know, growing up on WCW and WWF, you know, obviously to me that's always going to be king. And, you know, I think part of that era, part of that attitude era that everyone loved so much that I grew up on was a lot of the gimmicks. It wasn't just the over-aggressive matches and the Undertaker trying to embalm Stone Cold alive and the you know, the putting people in dumpsters and rolling them off the stage. A lot of it was the gimmicks, too. The oddities being one of them. The Braun panties matches, the mud wrestling matches, all sorts of Mae Young giving birth to a hand. You know, weird stuff that was funny. You know, that was funny. And I think you fit into that because at the time, Goldberg in WCW was obviously, you know, 150-something and all. I mean, he was tearing it up. He was the biggest thing. And you were sort of that comedic response to that sort of that FU to WCW, and I loved it. I mean, I ate it up. I thought it was – when I was younger, I was in early high school at that point. I thought it was hilarious. Actually, no. Attitude Era? No, actually, I was probably in early middle school probably. And I just – I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And, you know, I just – I guess my main question for you would be getting to that point. Okay, you probably had to take your bumps. You know, you have to come up the hard way, as a lot of them do, unless you're Triple H. And you, well, he came up in a hard way in a different way, if you know what I mean. But a lot of these guys have to work their way through the business. What sort of got you with your, you know, with your physical traits and your abilities? What sort of got you to say, hey, you know what? I think I want to be a professional wrestler. And where did you start, and sort of what was your inspiration for getting into the business?
All right. Well, my whole life, I was super, 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 super fan. If I was
okay.
a player, see, wrestling only came on one time a week when I was a kid. So it was at Saturday at 4 o'clock. If I was at the playground at Saturday at 3:45, and somebody said, it's 3:45, and I was playing baseball, I'd drop the bat and run home as fast as I could. And I guarantee I came to that door, and my father was sitting there with the popcorn, the sodas, and we sat down and watched wrestling for that hour every single week.
Huh.
Then we moved to Florida for a while. I had standing reservations at the Eddie Grant Sports Arena for like 5 years. Then I just was a super fan. And I used to have a buddy that we lived right next to each other in apartments, and I used to go over and say, come on, man, let's watch some wrestling. He said, I ain't watching that stuff. Come on. And we kind of, you know, moved apart. He got married. I got married. Now we went our own ways and everything. And I was watching wrestling one day, and I went, holy hell, that's Barry, which was Barry Hardy. And
really?
Yeah, I called his mother. His mother said, that's pre-recorded. Dwayne's home. I give him a call. He said, dude, I have been looking for you forever. Ever since I learned, I've been looking for you. And I was like, awesome. Well, where are you at? And he told me his address. He lived a quarter mile away from me. Jumped in the car, drove over his house. We bullcrapped for about 10 minutes, laid a piece of 8x8 carpet out on the floor, on the concrete floor, laid a piece of padding underneath of it. Started learning headlock takeovers, hip tosses, the whole deal, man, right then and there. And he said, I'm having a ring cut down right now to fit in my basement. And for 3 weeks, I learned on a concrete floor, and then when the ring came, I learned how to run ropes. And luckily, I had watched it so much that when, you know, he showed me a move, I knew it. And I had it down that fast. Boom, 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 boom. And it was just lucky I was God-gifted at it, you know what I mean, as far as wrestling. And Barry Hardy taught me how to wrestle in his basement. And I have Barry to thank for everything, except for one man who helped Barry and I, and he just died, which is Pretty Boy Larry Sharp.
Ooh. Yeah, that's no fun.
Oh,
okay, Sharp.
I just heard. Was it today he died?
Yeah, it was this morning.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, I was going to announce that, but I knew
dude,
that
this is
you were
this is tearing me
it.
Up, man. I mean, you have no idea. He got us in WWF.
Right.
Larry taught
now,
Barry. Barry went to the Monster Factory. I owned 2 Baltimore Monster Factories. The
and
Big Show used to leave Larry's and come down and practice at mine for a while, and then go back to Larry's.
Where is Barry Hardy now?
Barry Hardy's in Florida now, Daytona, Florida. I just
you have,
tagged
you
the
have
match.
You have contact
with him?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Just wrestled him 2 nights ago.
Do you think you can get him on the show with us?
I know I can get him on the show.
All right. Well, yeah.
Awesome.
And I'll,
awesome.
After,
we can
after,
have a night where all three of us, if you can do a three-way.
You better believe it.
I'm always
that's no problem. I can get Barry no problem at all, brother. That's my mentor, the guy who taught me. You know, I have, you know, he's the guy. You know, everybody has the guy who taught them that you look up to, and that's mine.
And and I'm not just saying this, but you are the guy that I looked up to when I was a kid. And, of course, I had my favorites. You know, I always wanted, you know, I look like I look like Mick Foley. Even Mick Foley has told me this. He told me that a couple weeks back.
He does look like Mick Foley.
But, you know,
I'll give him that. He does.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. My hero for jobbers was you. I mean, when I saw what you did, when I saw all the beatings that you took, I mean, just, you know, I wanted to be just like you, but I wanted to get a few wins, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And, you know, he always seemed so happy. He always seemed so happy, which was great because, you know, a lot of these guys, you see them, like, in today, those jobbers that they put up against Braun Strowman, they all either looked petrified or like they were pissed that they were in that role. And Goldberg always came out, and he was always energetic and happy, and he was always that kind of, you know, ray of light.
And there
light,
was only one
dark show.
There was only one that won against Strowman that wasn't scared or pissed off. It was glad to be there.
You.
Nope. I never wrestled
Strowman.
Oh, no, Strowman.
He hasn't fought him.
Who is it? He's there right now. James Ellsworth.
Oh, yeah.
He is basically the modern version of me.
I was
so happy to be there and
sure
proud
like
to be there, and he don't give a shit, man, what it is. It's a show, brother. It's what we do. And if he can go out there and show and do what he does, instead of doing it in front of 50 or 200 or 500 or 600, he's in front of millions. And that's where you want to be. That's where you strive to be. That's what you go out there and bust your ass for. And then you go up there and then you go, oh, I got to lose. Dude, what the hell, man? You know what I mean? Come on.
Well,
it's,
you know,
it's everything you work for. You go up there, and then you're going to say something about what you got to do.
Right. You know, and
that's
we know
true.
That wrestling, and, you know, I'm sure you'll attest to this, wrestling is not about winning and losing. Wrestling
no,
is
it's about the show that you can
people.
Put on to the fans.
I mean, if
my
you,
whole thing is, I tell everybody, brother, you can go out there and do 1,000 moves. And have the fans go, yay. But if you involve
right.
the fans and have them part of the match, you don't have to do but 3 or 4 moves, and the fans will blow the roof off the place. You have to make them part
cool.
of the match. If you make them part of the match, that's what they want to be. That's like the fans in WWE now with all the talk and the chanting and all that. They're part of the show. You see what I mean now? And
right.
it makes a fan a lot happier.
And Monday Night Raw, I believe it was last week, after they had Roman Reigns beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, came out the next night, and he literally stood there. I counted. It was like 12 minutes, which is an eternity in wrestling, of him just standing there in silence as the crowd chanted all sorts of different things at him.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I think even though he's been shoved down our throats and people don't really like him, I think the fact that they're booing him and that I think the fact that he's getting a response at all has been a successful endeavor for WWE. I really do. Because some guys don't get any pop. They get no response. You know, in WWE, you either love guys or you hate guys. But that's what they want.
Well, I know one thing. It's
from the crowd.
It blows my mind because the Inouye family is one of the greatest families I've ever met in my life. You know
is
what I mean?
Is Stephanie McMahon really a bitch?
It's an honor to know them and be a friend of the family. But he is the first one that I have seen in the whole family that the fans just don't like. You know yourself, the Samoans have been the worst, meanest, nastiest people in the business, and everybody loved them.
True.
Correct?
That is very true.
Mm-hmm. And Roman's trying to be the nicest guy in the business, and nobody wants a damn thing to do with him.
It's Murphy's Law, man. It's just how it works, unfortunately. But Dwayne, I can't figure it out.
I can't either.
It was interesting. Well,
you know what it is?
I think
it's that the fans are smart now, and they're like, man, you're trying to jam this guy down my throat. I don't want him there. You know what I mean?
Right.
I really think that's what it is. I really think because anybody who they liked, like a Randy Orton could have beat the Taker, and they'd have been happy as a motherfucker. Excuse my French. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's well,
knock that out, man. Please tell me if it's recorded.
I have a dumb button. You're good.
I don't use that language at all.
You can say anything you want, and you know you'll be fine.
I'm just saying. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. I have a few things that I do.
I really feel that's what's hurting is that they're so smart now. It's a great thing.
I love it that they're so
smart now because, you know, they know exactly what I'm all about, and that makes them like me more, you know, which is so cool about it. It's like a cult following. It's so neat. I love it. You know, you got the people who don't understand it, but then they got the people who get it and love it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like I said about Goldberg, he hated me for probably the first 8 or 9 years, but then I met him in an autograph session probably a year ago.
He literally told me,
he said, man, thanks, brother, for keeping me relevant. He said, because every time they see you, they think of me.
Now,
you know what I mean?
I have a few other questions for you. Now, Stephanie McMahon is not really the same kind of gal that she portrays in person, right? She's actually pretty nice.
Stephanie's one of the nicest people you ever want to meet in your life. One of the sweetest kind of people you ever want to meet. I'm serious.
Yeah, she plays the role very well. I mean, she plays the role. If that's the case, if that's the truth about Stephanie McMahon, then possibly she deserves an Emmy because she plays the role like she's the biggest bitch on planet Earth. Yeah.
Vince is one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet, too.
And, let's see.
The only thing I have ever found is why people call him an asshole. And I've been up there for a lot of years, been contracted, been uncontracted, been a jobber, been everything. The only reason I found that people could call him an asshole is because he's a businessman. In other words, you're up there making $1, $2, $3, $5 million a year, whatever it is, right? And your character's time's up and you get fired. You asshole.
You know.
He's a businessman. You know what I mean? If you're not making the money that I'm paying you, you got to go. It's the way it is. It's just the way it is. It's the way of business. If you're not making your boss money, he's not going to keep you there. If I'm not making my boss money, he's not going to keep me there. You're not there to be his friend, his buddy, his pal. You're there to make him money. Why does anybody hire anybody to make me money?
Exactly.
That's very true. That's very true.
Period.
And Gilbert, or Dwayne, whichever one you prefer.
Anything you want, brother, don't matter.
Are you still in contact with a lot of them? Do you still talk to the guys, see them at all up there?
Oh, yeah, man, all the time. I see them all the time on autograph sessions and everything. I see all my friends, all of them.
There is one match I would like to talk about.
There was a match? What is that?
There was one match I'd like you to talk about, and then I'm going to have you talk a little bit about your football coaching career, because we want to talk about that, too. Now,
interesting as well.
Yeah, the Gimmick Battle Royal. Can you tell us about that event after Vince bought WCW? They had a Gimmick Battle Royal. Can you tell us about that?
Was that the one with the anniversary?
Yeah.
No, that was the Gimmick Battle Royal at WrestleMania, and I was about to walk out the curtain. And you know how they show the numbers on the curtain? It says 5, 4, 3. Mm-hmm. Bruce Pritchard stood in front of me and said, "You can't go." And I said, "You are kidding me, right? This is WrestleMania." He goes, "Dwayne, I love this business with all my heart, but this is one of the reasons that I hate it." He goes, "You cannot go." And I went, "Bruce, F you, I'm going. It's WrestleMania. You can't stop me." And he was like, I mean, you could see it in his face. He was like, "Oh, my God, this son of a bitch is going to walk right past me." And all the boys in the ring that I had put over all those years were there waiting for me to come out. I was going to clear the ring. As soon as I got in there, I was going to clean the ring, and it would have been awesome. I was going to clear the ring. I was supposed to double clothesline Typhoon and Earthquake over the top rope at the same time. You know what I mean? I mean, they were all ready, and they stopped me, and Bruce said, if you go out there, you not only lost your job, but I lost mine. I said, they would fire you. He said, brother, they sent me. You know, it's my job to stop you. If I don't stop you, I'm sure I'm getting fired. And I went, well, let's go then, buddy. Put my arm around him, and we walked away. I ain't going to lie to you. I was crying my eyes out. It was WrestleMania,
I was waiting for WrestleMania.
And I never made my WrestleMania moment. Never made my WrestleMania moment. Three seconds from walking out the curtain. 3 seconds.
Well, Dwayne, I guess my question would be, we had a long time ago now, it's almost a year ago, but we had Buff Bagwell on the show and did an interview with Buff. And, you know, he still has a little bit of ill will. He still has a little bit of, you know, a little salty regarding what happened to him after the contract buyout, about the one match that they fought and him getting fired out of the blue and all this. But the one thing that I guess really rubs Buff the wrong way is he never got an explanation as to why. Did they ever tell you why they didn't let you go out there?
Yeah, he said, I said, why not? And he goes, we're afraid that Goldberg's going to be upset, and he's coming in next week. From a business standpoint, I'm not salty about anything. Yes, I am disappointed that I did not get to go out there. Very disappointed. But I am not salty. WWF, WWE, the McMahon family, and all the boys have been everything plus 1,000 times what I could have wished for. A little boy's childhood dream has been filled 1,000,000 times over. I am not upset about a damn thing. If I never wrestled there again or never saw the inside again, I did it. I did it.
That is true.
And I fulfilled my dream, and I took it one step further. I held a belt.
And before my dad died,
like I told you, it was a childhood thing that me and my dad did before he died. He was sick with cancer so bad, I got to walk in and show him that belt. He cried like a baby.
That was probably a very special moment to you.
He cried like a baby, man.
Right, and that's the one reason that everybody wants to get into this business, to hold the title, and you got to hold the title, which was, you know, a dream that you got, that I got to live through you. I've never held the title, you know. I've been part of two championship teams in my lifetime, but I've never got to held the title. But when I saw that you won the title, I mean, I'll never forget that night that you held up that belt, and I was so proud because you were my hero back then, and you got to win a championship.
Man, it blew my mind, and that title helped us win the Maryland State Championship too. My 90-pound football team, because we were going to the when I got home, we were going to the championship that next weekend, and I was out there, and we were going against a team that were called the Hornets, and they were like crushing everybody at the time. And the guys, the little kids were really, really, really worried about it. And I had it in the bag, and I had the title, and I got them all around at the end of practice. I said, you know, when you're really, really down and you feel you can never win, no matter what you do, there's always that chance. You got to try your hardest, like I did, and I pulled the belt out. Man, they went nuts. They went nuts, grabbed the belt, running all around the field, man. Every one of them took turns putting it on, you know what I mean? It was awesome. It was really, really awesome. And we went that weekend and destroyed the Hornets.
Now, when you were coaching football, this is the next thing I want you to talk about. Now, you had an impressive winning streak. It's like your winning streak for football was better than Goldberg's wrestling, wasn't it?
Oh, it was crazy. In the 10 years I did it, we went all county 6 of the years, won state, two of them, and we had 3 undefeated seasons.
Yeah, you won like 100 and some games, didn't you?
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts, It was nuts. Everybody hated us because we were so good.
Now,
and to be honest with
just,
you, when you're teaching kids, when you're teaching kids, the main thing is have the best physically fit team. We taught calisthenics three quarters of practice. And our guys, come halftime, the matches were always, you know, pretty tied up, right? But then by the end of the third quarter, we were winning by slaughter rule because at halftime, the kids would come back out and they were dead. Our guys were just warmed up, ready to go.
Now, I was kind of curious. Being a former WWE wrestler when you were coach now, did you ever have to get into official space and say, hey, how could you make a call like that? Do you know who I am? Did you ever get to do that?
I never said, do you know who I am? Never, but yes. I was a parent as well as a coach. And I have really, to be honest with you, at times or two, I was one of those crazy parents. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm not going to lie to you. I was one of those nutso parents.
You were one of those parents that would run on the field and kick dirt on the umpire, would you?
Yeah, let's just say. in a baseball championship game, I was arguing with an umpire after the game, and I ended up beating up three people.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah,
well,
I was a fanatical parent. Yeah, I was.
And you still living in Maryland, or where are you at now?
Yeah, I still live in Maryland. I live on the Eastern Shore now.
Cool.
I don't live around Baltimore anymore. I live on the Eastern Shore out in the country.
Okay, yeah, see, I did a show down there for our radio station. We covered a lacrosse event, a lacrosse event, rather, and it was, trying to remember, Westminster up in Carroll County. So last time I was in Maryland, that's where I was at. So I don't know how close that is to you, but, yeah, I like the state. It's a great state. So, Gilbert, and I'm going to say Gilbert in this regard, my favorite moment from you, I have to say, growing up as a kid, and Icon, you probably remember this, and I'm sure Gilbert remembers this. What was this one right here?
Oh, wait a minute.
Ah!
Oh, no! Well, you can't be first, but you can be next. Gilbert needs some thank you. It's always my favorite. What's your sparklers? There's Gilbert.
I think that's what the big said.
Well,
Gilbert being.
No, wait. No, Gilbert, he just got here.
Gilbert just got in town.
Oh, no.
Gilbert being. Been ganged up on here.
Oh, goodness.
And eliminated.
So, that was
one of my
favorite moments from you. Yeah, just from. I remember Doink the Clown was in it, a couple of guys were in it. And he comes out, he's doing his whole, he's dressing up, and I'm just cracking up. And then he comes out, and immediately, almost like you see them do with the Big Show, almost like you see them do with Braun Strowman, everybody grabs him and picks him up over their head like he's crowd surfing, and is going to throw him out of the ring. And I just thought it was really funny. I remember growing up watching that moment. The audio doesn't do it justice. The video does it a little bit better. But that, you know, that was just a moment that struck out to me as one of the top moments of growing up. Because I remember it like it was yesterday, and it was so long ago.
it was a blast.
Yeah, doing things like that was just absolutely fantastic. It's what made it fantastic, in my opinion.
I love it, man. I really did. I love the gimmick. I still do the gimmick. I I really love it because mainly, to be honest with you, I can be myself, you know. Me, myself, yep. I just like to smile and laugh and make people laugh, you know. And if you ever seen the gimmick, bro, you definitely will laugh.
Oh, no, I've
you know what I mean?
I grew up on it.
I love it. I love the gimmick to death. And I'm so glad that they did it.
When you come out, you know, and you got two guys with sparklers above your head, and then you got somebody spraying you with
fire extinguisher.
Yeah, you ever worry that they might miss hit you in the eyes or something?
Oh, nah, man, we're good to go. It is hilarious. It is. It's super funny as hell.
No, it's amazing. And, you know, I would love, you know, we'd love to, you know, you're always welcome to call us back up, take us on the show, as well as, you know, if you want to get Barry on with us as well, that would be amazing. I'm always down for a threesome. And I love that idea. And just kind of,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
Kinda
I can definitely
pardon,
do it, man. I can
pardon
definitely
my French,
do it.
But. Pardon my French, but just kind of shoot the shit, you know, talk about wrestling a little bit, talk about the business, and sort of go over it, because that's just sort of what we do on the show. Is not only do we go on and bitch about Raw, although it's been good the past 2 weeks, but not only do we go on and bitch about Raw, but we like talking to guys, and we do a lot of independent guys, but whenever we get a bigger name and somebody that people know on the show, it's an amazing thing, and, you know, part of my childhood was Gilbert, was Goldberg, but also was Gilbert. And, you know, it's just great to have you on. I'm honored. It's special to me. And I know Icon loves to have you. And I think the last thing he's going to want from you here is, you know, I'm
going
to do a promo.
Oh, yeah, for sure,
yeah,
brother. That's no problem at all,
that's
man.
That's what we're doing. And what we're just so you know sort of what the hell you're getting into here, for the other shows, you know, this network runs, you know, sports talk shows, they have drama shows, they have talk, they have whatever. Throughout the course of the day, you know, I mean, you're a sports guy, you probably listen to some sports radio, you know how they have the commercials, and then they have, you know, those little bumpers, little 10-second spots in between them.
Yeah, I got you,
brother.
Well, I know exactly what you need, man.
That's sort of what we're looking for, and I think that would be huge. It would be great for us to run that throughout the course of the day. And if you want to do that, you can say whatever you want. Hey, man, this is Gilbert. Hey, this is Dwayne Gill. Whatever you want to say, you know, and you're listening to Off the Ropes, and it would be absolutely fantastic to have that from you.
Off the rope, right?
Off the rope.
I'll catch you down, and then you can do it.
All right, you got it.
All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, everybody, this is Gilbert, and you're listening to Off the Ropes, the best damn show on here.
I love
it. I'm with it. I like it.
Good enough.
I'm with it. He even did the laugh. I'm with it. I'm totally down with that. That is amazing. So, man, I know you're a busy guy. I know you're working. You got to work tomorrow. I don't want to take up too much
of your
time.
Yeah, I
got to
work early, too. That's the only reason I can't stay late.
Yeah, no
well,
worries, man. No
then,
worries. And
what I'll do then is I'll text you tomorrow, and then I'll get you my contact. Well, I think you already have my contact information, so you can hook us up with
Barry.
Your buddy. Yeah.
Barry, yep.
Yeah, for sure, man. All three of us will get on here and just talk away, brother.
All right, and then we appreciate it. And then one other thing, and I'm surprised that he hasn't talked about it this. Chris was wondering if you ever had a match with his hero, Edge.
Oh, geez.
With Edge? No, I did.
Oh,
yeah, remember
God.
I had the King of the Ring.
I remember that. Yep. Nope.
He threw me out. He threw me out of the King of the Ring, remember?
I remember the reason I didn't bring it up was because I knew that. And you know,
I love Edge.
It.
Edge is a good guy.
I know everything Edge has ever done. Because I'm kind of an edgehead. And, you know, they give me crap for it all the time, but I am. So so that's awesome as well.
Why not? He's a hell of a worker.
Oh, he was. And he the Rated R Superstar, carried that company for a long, long time. Him and John Cena, throughout, you know, after Stone Cold and The Rock left and all those guys, they needed something, and they got
it
from him.
That's it, brother.
would hate to keep you too much longer. I know you got to work early. You're a busy man, but I kind of be in touch with you. You'll get the info. We'll get Barry on here. We'll get you on here. We'll talk. We'll take up a whole show talking about wrestling and what got you guys in the business. Some of your best stories from coming up training, stuff like that, and really kind of not just necessarily talk to you, but talk to you about, you know, your background and talk to you about coming
okay,
up and
brother.
What it's like. And it should be a great moment. It should be any wrestling fan's dream. And you know, we'll have that exclusive. We'll also have this audio for you once it gets processed and the station runs it through. We'll be able to send this to you if you want to hear it as well. And
sure.
We'll go from there. So,
okay,
yeah.
Brother. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Gail Spurt.
You got it. You guys have a good one here. God bless you both.
Appreciate it.
You
Thanks
as well.
Much.
Thank you, man.
You got it. See ya.
So as Gilbert leaving the studio here with us, great guy. I mean, I didn't know much. Honestly, I didn't know much about him, you know, other than what I saw on television. But a great guy, and you know, I feel like if he brings Barry on, there's so much more with his limited time that he had tonight because he has to work tomorrow. So much more to him, so much a deeper of a story to him than I think we were able to delve into here tonight. So. We'd definitely love to get him back on at some point, and you know, you're the schedule maker. I'll allow you to go on and set that up. But would definitely love to have that. It'd be great.
Oh yeah, and you know, I'll tell you, the thing is, and you know, are we until 11 or 10:30 tonight or whatever?
10:30 is what they're saying, but I can go a little longer if need be.
Okay. Well, you know, here's the thing, and not that I'm bragging, but, you know, ever since I became part of this show, and, of course, this is about me now. Yes, it is. I know that. But
since
I've become part of the show, I've been wanting to help revolutionize it. You know, I want us to be able to go national. I want us to get a satellite radio contract, you know. And with all
it's
these
possible.
Guests and stuff that I've been bringing on, you know, and it's only going to get better. In a couple weeks, we're going to have Julie Hart on with us. She's going to be talking about her book Heartstrings, and she's got a special guest that she got for us, a friend of hers, Stacy Angel, who runs a Heart Legacy Wrestling, and she's going to be talking to us about that. And there's a lot of things,
which is fantastic
that,
as well. I mean, anybody that has the Heart name associated with them is a huge get.
And, you know, there's a lot of questions that we're going to have Julie on with an hour with us, you know, because unlike some guests, she's an hour behind us, or an hour behind me.
Okay.
2 hours behind you, so we can have her on for a whole hour. So that'll be good.
Beautiful.
And
beautiful. I'm with it.
And I'll tell you what, she is the sweetest individual, and I've already told her this. I was going to wait to announce it. Well, maybe I will wait to announce it when she's on the air with us so we can get a reaction. But there's a few special things that I have for Julie that when we talk to her about it. So that'll be, we'll talk to her about that kind of stuff.
Oh, nice. Hey, did
and,
you make a card, by the way? Did you make one of those collector's cards for Gilbert?
I did.
Okay, because you usually ask
fact,
people come on
our,
about it, and
our,
forgot to ask him,
Facebook.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so go on the Facebook, on the Off the Rope page, or the Scott Helmrads page, the icon page, and check it out. He makes these collector's cards for all the superstars that we have on, independent or not. And usually, I wasn't sure if you did because you didn't ask him about it. And you usually ask the people if they like it, so I wasn't sure if you had done it or not. But
I've already asked
great
guy. Times about it. I see.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, he's a great guy, and you know, like I said, we'd love to have him on. Now, we can get into a little bit more wrestling here. And for those of you who are listening, which I know some are, I've got confirmation here in front of me that they are. My heart, as well as another appendage of my body, just stood at attention halfway through the Goldberg thing. You notice I sort of wasn't really talking, but because I was drooling too badly. Alexa Bliss is now on Raw. Oh my goodness!
I saw that. Can you believe that?
Alexa Bliss is a smoke show. I think she's the hottest chick in the business right now, hands down. And I would go to jail for a long time for the things that I would do to her. So I am very, very excited that she's on Raw. Very excited.
But, you know, there's one thing that we haven't mentioned. It looks like
Nia
Jax is doing a face turn, doesn't it?
You know, it really kind of does.
She took on
Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah. Can I think of that name? Yeah, she took on Charlotte earlier.
But,
you know, it's kind of interesting. I think what they're doing with her,
and then came out and confronted Alexa Bliss at the end of the show too. So
yeah, and
but
also
that leads, but that leads me to believe something though. Because now, look what you've got on SmackDown. You're losing one of your biggest female names, and you're oversaturating Raw with the female talent. So I guarantee you, it probably won't be Bayley because she's the women's champion, but I guarantee you one of the chicks that you're used to seeing on Monday nights is going to now be on Tuesday nights, whether it's, you know, Dana Brooke, whether it's maybe Nia Jax, who knows. I don't think she's quite ready to make that turn. I mean, she's barely been on Raw. It could be Charlotte. I would hate to see that, but it could be the Boss, you know. But either way, I think we're going to see a big shakeup in the Divas division as well now, which I was not expecting. I thought the Divas were going to stay put, but I guess not.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, too, how, you know, I wonder if they're doing this, taking all of SmackDown's best talent, putting them on Raw to rebuild Raw back up. I wonder if that's what their plan is.
But yeah, but you can't kill SmackDown by building Raw.
No, you can't.
You have to have equal talent on both.
Yeah. And if
your game plan is to make SmackDown the secondary show like it's always been, then sure, by all means. But if you want SmackDown to be equal to Raw or to contribute or compete with Raw, you can't just rape their talent division. You have to sort of substitute and trade, and I think tomorrow night's going to be very interesting to see what talent they put on SmackDown and what direction they want to go with the program, because other than AJ Styles, who seems to be on his way out, but who knows, other than AJ Styles, it seems like all of the big names on SmackDown are now on Raw. So you got to take one of the Raw big names, be it a Finn Balor, be it a Seth Rollins, be it a somebody, one of the big names, and put them over on SmackDown. I mean, you have to do it at this point, or else SmackDown is going to turn into the B program that it has always been. So who knows what they're trying to do with it. These writers are so tough to figure out, but I think it gives us a little bit of solace to know that all the predictions that we made last week, for the most part anyway, as to who was going to come over to Raw, came true. Dean Ambrose, we predicted. I believe I said Bray Wyatt, I thought. And I think you might have said The Miz. I think one of us said The Miz.
I think we're going to see it.
Yeah, so I think we're going to end up seeing it. And, yes, the gimmick is getting a little stale, the John Cena imitation gimmick getting a little stale. I'll give you that. But, you know, especially if John Cena's not coming to Raw. There's no point in doing it if John Cena's not going to be on Raw. But you know what? It is what it is. Raw has gotten exponentially better. And the fact that the Lunatic Fringe, who we've been saying for months, we thought that somehow Dean Ambrose was going to come to Raw. We just weren't sure what the angle was going to be, how they were going to pull it off. Well, they basically did a modified version of a draft, okay, and brought these guys over. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for a potential Shield reunite. And as well as the Wyatt family reunite, I really think if they're smart, they will have the big storyline going into the summer being the Wyatts versus the Shield. I think that would be what's quote-unquote best for business. But again, you know, hey, that's why I'm sitting here doing this and talking about it and not actually contracted with them writing the shit, you know. So that's why.
Here's one thing that we could be overlooking.
Okay.
With them bringing all the big marquee talent over to Raw, now from SmackDown, are they going to put talent from Raw onto SmackDown, or are they doing this to bring guys up from NXT to SmackDown? That's something else that we haven't talked about.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility also. They could be moving Alexa Bliss over to make room for Nakamura.
I think that would be a real coup, you know.
And, you know, I really, because you remember how a little bit ago they had a whole influx of NXT talent coming up to Raw, and it seemed like 3, 4, 5 guys came up all, like, within a couple months of each other? Now they might be doing the same thing, but on SmackDown. And they might be saying, okay, we gave you your NXT talent, we gave you 205 Live, we gave you Samoa Joe, we gave you Austin Aries, we gave you, you know, Nia Jax. Now let's take some of these guys and put them on SmackDown and equal out. We gave you Bayley. Now let's take them on SmackDown and equal out that division. And I think that's actually a very, very solid point by you there. I think that's definitely a realistic possibility. And, you know, NXT is huge. I mean, I would go as far as to say that some people like NXT better than the main roster. So that would be huge to bring some of those guys up, or girls.
And absolutely. I think that would make sense. You know, and, you know, or here's another possible thing that they might think about doing, which I hope they don't, but moving.
Oh, you hope they don't, okay.
Well, they might, but I hope they don't. Moving the Cruiserweight division to SmackDown.
It's possible.
Because I think the Cruiserweights are not working on Raw. They're not. We know this. Nobody cares. But I think if they were on SmackDown, I think more people would gravitate towards it.
Maybe. I think that right now you've established 205 Live. I think that people out there who the Cruiserweight division tickles their fancy, I think, you know, obviously you've established it enough now where people who like that kind of thing follow it. So I don't think it matters what show it's on. But I don't know if there's room on a two-hour program for all of that. I think the reason it's on Raw is because they have 3 hours to fill instead of 2 hours to fill. So I think it makes sense to keep it on Raw. As much as I don't like the Cruiserweight division, as much as I think it's not exciting to me, I think it makes sense to keep it on Raw from what Gilbert was saying from a business standpoint, because it is all the business at the end of the day when it boils down.
Well, you know, and the other interesting thing is, like, you know, and I know that he's still listening, you know, and I just want to thank Gilbert once again for joining us.
It was
very
awesome
having you. And, you know, you were awesome, and we look forward to having a great partnership with you, you know, because he knows a lot of these guys, you know.
Oh, of course he does. Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't he? He was on the main roster. I mean, of course he does, you know, and connection-wise would be astronomical. And, you know, he seems like a good guy, and you know, I think the interview went pretty well, so... Yeah, I would love to have him back on, have Barry on, and just talk about wrestling for a while. And, I mean, that's what we do. That's what the show's about. And, you know, that's what we love doing and love talking about and grew up talking about. So, I mean, that's pretty much that. So if you don't have anything else, we can give you an update on our Off the Ropes Facebook page. You can go check that out. We'll give you an update of who moves over to SmackDown tomorrow night. I'm going to be during the day tomorrow. I'm down here in Florida. I'm going to be during the day tomorrow. I'm going to try to get back to see the beginning of SmackDown. If not, I'll probably catch it somewhere in the middle. Because I'm working a couple of events down here.
And then before we sign off, I want to let everybody know that next week we're going to have Joshua Lee Blanchard and AJ Raven on with us. We got two guests on, one at 10. One at 9:55, one at 10:25. They'll be on with us. They're going to tell us about their wrestling careers, and these two are completely nuts and completely crazy, and they are good. And they're going to be talking.
I am totally with nuts and crazy. Totally. And I just said I'm totally with nuts. That sounds really, really bad. But anyway, I'm totally with it. And yeah, it's been another successful Off the Ropes. We had you know, arguably call him a jobber if you want. The dude made it to the big roster. We had a big name on with us tonight, and honored to have him, and honored to talk to who we got next week. And, you know, this has been a great endeavor that we've had between, you know, between the independent guys coming up and the main roster guys. I know somewhere off in the horizon, we've got Tony Schiavone, the announcer, and as well as DDP, I've heard, on the horizon. Also, I'm working my connections on I'm working on this side, my connections trying to get Booker T. So I know we've had a lot. Buck Bagwell is always willing to come back on.
Omega as well coming up, and Animal from LOD. They'll be on with us.
Animal from LOD. How could I have forgotten Animal from LOD? It's what a rush is that's going to be. And if you watch the Attitude Era, you know what I'm talking about. This has been Off the Ropes. Another great Raw, it shocks me to even say that, but another great Raw and another great Off the Ropes program. And Scott, keep doing your thing, man. You're doing a hell of a job getting these guys on, and you know, couldn't be happier with that. And you know, again, join us next week. We got commercials coming up, but first, a little something yours to Harris.
Yeah.
Dead Man Walking.
You've done it now.